Welcome back. So as far as I know, there were four big media stories last week that were not having to do with horrible people killing each other in the Middle East type stuff. There was the Fiscal Cliff stuff, which I don't want to talk about.
Fiscal Cliff!
Oh, God.
You know, okay, quick comment about that. You know, I get about the mainstream media, you know, the network news channels calling it the Fiscal Cliff. That's just Heather texting me, don't worry about that. I was asking if she went out for Black Friday, which we can talk about in a little bit. Yeah. Fiscal Cliff, network news, sure. But NPR has really latched onto the Fiscal Cliff, and you figure they would... I would hope that someone like NPR would, you know, choose, hey, we're going to call it sequestration and not fall into this hyperbole of fiscal cliff.
Hey, you know, gets people donating, I guess.
I guess.
No, they don't have to sell ads.
So I'm disappointed that they're not calling it sequestration.
No, I think also part of it is that it's become sort of a cultural thing. So if they call it sequestration and it avoided what the cultural term is, people would not necessarily glom onto it as easily.
And they wouldn't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah, sequel. What? Give me something about the fiscal cliff. How come we're not talking about the fiscal cliff? NPR, liberal bastion. You know, liberal news. You're not covering it. Ha ha. See, so that could be it. You know, we did. It's sequestration.
Oh, that's liberal talk.
So there are two stories, and then there's a third story that weirdly has aspects of the other two stories.
Are we talking about sexy time?
Yeah. Well, the first story is Twinkies.
Oh, Twinkies.
The second story is Petraeus.
Sexy time.
And the third story is Elmo. So, let me explain.
They're all tied together?
No, they're not tied together, but the third one has aspects of the first two.
Okay.
All right. So, I'll
I know what you're talking about. Okay, I saw the Elmo story.
Yeah, so
did
like...
Did you see how that just jumped off the bottle? That was... Never mind. It was pretty cool. Cap.
Everyone knows the Petraeus story. I don't need to get into that. Everyone knows the Twinkie story. I have a rant about that. But it's related to the Elmo story. So the Elmo story, the Elmo guy was having sex with underage kids, or allegedly. And maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But the thing is, it was both the Twinkies story and the Petraeus story in one, because there was the salacious details of the Petraeus story and the people caring about something that they 10 years plus ago never cared about at all part of the Twinkie story combined with Elmo. If this happened to some to Bert, or if this happened to some, I don't know, just Count Chocula, no one would give a crap. It just happened to this Elmo guy, and so and people are like, oh my god, what's happened to Elmo now? You know what? Who cares? Because yeah, Elmo's going to be replaced by somebody else.
Lots of people could do this voice.
Yeah,
oh my
and
god.
Everyone can do a falsetto, and they're very talented puppeteers at Sesame Workshop. I'm sure they'll be able to handle it fine. The people, yeah, it's not like Kermit dying. It's not like Jim Henson going away, because that has an emotional attachment that you still felt when you were an adult. You didn't keep loving Elmo when you were an adult. You only love Elmo if you're two. They're not going to notice the change. With somebody talking in falsetto and slightly different puppet movements, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about your Elmo. The Petraeus thing, people want to have sex.
I don't get how a guy like Petraeus, who's generally a really good, a patriot, if you will, right? He's done a lot for the country. He's the director of the CIA.
Uh-huh.
He's having an affair. How is that a resignation-worthy event?
I believe it has something to do with some sort of weird CIA bylaw or something like that. There's actually some kind of weird bylaw about certain national security things that you have access to, and if you have something like that, then that people can get leverage over you, sort of deal. So it's like,
oh well, you know what, that I get it. Makes sense. You could definitely be extorted from a situation like that. Okay. All right. Resign. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you should be hounded over it. I mean, it's a...
The story's crazy, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird dimensions. It's very soap opera-like, right? But, I mean, the thing about it is A, people want to have sex, and B, people who are in, like, mentor-mentee relationships that are opposite sex. Titillating for cultural reasons.
Did you see The Daily Show? I'm not sure if... I don't think it was the day that
it was broke. The Colbert Report. They did the soap opera thing with Susan Lucci. That was really funny.
That was funny. That was good. But did you see the one where... I'm not sure if it was the day it was broke, but it was the day that they realized who the accuser was, you know, the biographer.
Oh, yeah, and he was saying he interviewed her.
He interviewed her, and, like, they clipped together everything she said, which could be read a different way, knowing that she's, you know, boning the general.
I actually, after that whole thing, it was the first time I, because I don't normally watch interviews with, you know, on Daily Show unless it's something I'm interested in. So I never watched that one. I may have watched that show, but I didn't watch it. But I went back and watched the interview, and she's talking to her husband. She did all these things. Yeah, it is. You watch it, and you're kind of creeped out by it. You're just like, But Twinkies.
Fucking Twinkies.
Everyone is going crazy. And when I say everyone, I mean, yes, literally every single person on the planet.
Literally?
Literally. Literally every single person.
Except for you and
me. On the planet. No, me included. Every single person on the planet is going crazy about Twinkies. Okay, yes, I'm exaggerating. But there's news stories, there's people buying Twinkies.
The day that it was announced, Jen, you know Jen, she went to Giant Eagle or Shop and Save, I don't know, someplace at lunch. No Twinkies on the shelves.
No Twinkies.
And she sent me a link to eBay search for Twinkies. And there were boxes of Twinkies going for $30.
Uh-huh. They're up to 60 or more now. And...
what the fuck?
Here's the thing. There's a reason.
Somebody's going to buy the brand and make Twinkies in 6 months.
Well, yeah, but even worse is there's a reason why they went out of business and why you weren't buying Twinkies. And that's because they're horrible for you. They're made of the worst ingredients. They're disgusting. And you don't want to eat that. And you haven't wanted to eat that for 12, 15 years.
Why would you take a Twinkie over a cream-filled donut?
Yeah. You know, if you're going to have something that even horrible for you, get a Krispy Kreme, right? I mean, they're everywhere now. I look at something like Dunkin' Donuts. They didn't. You know, they innovated. They you know, made their coffee their big deal. And they went to, you know, other drinks, other stuff, because people weren't going to eat donuts anymore. And did Hostess innovate? Well, not very well. They came out with more sugary crap. And guess what? It was substandard sugary crap, and they deserve to die.
Yeah.
They deserve to die. And no,
but Wonder Bread's gone too. Why aren't people snarfing up the Wonder Bread and selling that on eBay?
You're going to hate yourself while you're eating that Twinkie. I guarantee it. You're going to taste that Twinkie. You're going to put it in your mouth and you're like, oh, this is why I didn't want to eat Twinkies. And
what about Ho-Hos? Dum-Dums?
It's funny because I told you about my nephew who loves Devil Dogs. Devil Dogs are a Hostess brand.
I'm not even sure I know what a Devil Dog is.
It's sort of a New Jersey area or that New England type area stuff. It was made in New Jersey, but it's Devil Cake with a little cream in the middle. It's two Devil Cake, but it's shaped like a hot dog. Devil Dogs.
Oh, so it's a long cream cake sandwich thing.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they shape like, you know, shape hot dog buns.
I've had the Little Debbie version of so.
Yeah, it's gross stuff. I mean, if you eat it, you feel horrible. I mean, it's not like McDonald's where you eat it and it tastes good and then you feel horrible after it's in your stomach. You feel horrible while you're eating it. It sucks the life out of you while it's in your mouth. This is awful, awful stuff, and people should not be going crazy over Twinkies, they should realize the reason why they stopped eating Twinkies.
Ho-hos. Ho-hos are good enough that you don't feel awful until after they're in your belly.
If you say so.
It's a close call. But I would argue that ho-hos with the chocolate coating on the outside and the cream rolled in the middle, you don't regret that till after you're done chewing.
To me,
I can see where a Twinkie, you regret that while you're chewing it. You're like, why though? Why? I'm a horrible person.
Yeah.
But with ho-hos, you're like, oh, life is grand. And then when you take that last swallow, you're like, I'm a horrible person.
Your body, Twinkies, your body rebels against Twinkie while it's in your mouth. Your body's like, ugh, no.
But the brand's going to get bought. They're going to make Twinkies.
People are.
Yeah. So this whole eBay scalping thing just drives me. Well, there's two things. There's part of me that's like the Rapture pet thing, right? Why didn't I buy a crate of Twinkies and sell it on eBay? I could have made some fucking cash. And then the other part of me is like, who would fucking buy this shit? They're going to be on the shelves in 6 months.
I have bad news for you guys. Twinkies don't last forever. That's a myth. They're shelf stable for about 28, 30 days.
It doesn't matter. Someone's going to make them in 60 days.
There may be a delay of a couple months.
Someone's going to buy the trademark and put out Twinkies.
Yeah.
I heard a story on NPR. It was talking with a marketing guy. And I loved what he had to say. He's like, Hostess fucked up. They really needed to market Twinkies to these, 20-something hipsters that love everything mid-century.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm thinking like PBW and Twinkies. What's the point there, though?
Twinkie wiener sandwiches.
There you go. Like, do the Paula Deen instead of two Krispy Kremes and a hamburger, have two Twinkies and a hot dog.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, why not? If you're going to go that crazy, if you're just going to stuff yourself with horrible things, then do it with a Twinkie. That should have been their advertising. If you're going to stuff horrible things into your mouth, it might as well be a Twinkie.
I just, the run on Twinkies, I would not have predicted.
It's that weird, irrational human response to
I should have been able to predict that, though. Maybe I'm kicking myself for not buying a crate, all the Twinkies at Giant Eagle.
You didn't know that these Twinkies were, that Hostess was going to die.
Why? No, I heard at like 7 in the morning that they were closing up. I should have
ran out the Giant Eagle and bought a bunch of Twinkie boxes.
I was commuting to work when I heard it. I mean, I could have just stopped off and bought.
Jeff, you haven't even sent in the Saver.
Yes.
Thing, our bill for Saver, and you're gonna
Enterprise
put a crate of Twinkies online and send out each of them individually.
I hear you.
Don't kick yourself over stuff you would never have done.
I'm not kicking myself. I'm angry that there's a market for Twinkies on eBay.
Don't be angry about things that you would have no part in. That's like being angry of, that mechanics are fixing cars. I'm not angry that I can't fix a car and mechanics are making money fixing cars. Let them do their thing.
Yes, I guess. I'd like to consider myself a student of the human condition that I would have foreseen the run on Twinkies. That's all. Maybe. And I didn't foresee the run on Twinkies.
You're going into work. You have work stuff to think about. If all you were doing was lying at home in bed trying to think of ideas and you heard that, then you might have been in a different situation. Then you might be able to kick yourself for it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when I heard by like 4 hours later, there was no Twinkies on the shelf at the local supermarket. Then it hit me. I was like, what? There's a run on... people are so stupid.
Yeah.
I think I tweeted, this is why I hate people, and I posted a link to the eBay search for $30 Twinkies.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This might be, ironically, the best thing for the Twinkies brand. because it makes it, you know, part of the news again, and people remember them, and somebody will buy up Twinkies. And I bet, if this wasn't a huge news story, then the Twinkies trademark would not sell for nearly as much as it'll sell right now. I mean, they probably earned $1 billion on that trademark. Just from the way people are reacting to fucking Twinkies that no one wants to eat.
That's an interesting thing. I would have thought it was a valuable trademark beforehand. $1 billion? I would have guessed about 400 million is where I was thinking the trademark.
Well, I mean, just Twinkies maybe, but I'm saying the entire Hostess brands, all this stuff. Hostess, just, I think that,
Wonder Bread's worth a couple hundred million probably.
I don't know. Like you said, there's nobody running out to buy Wonder Bread.
That's the unfilled market. We need to do that. Make a run on Wonder Bread.
No, because if no one else is doing it, then it's pointless. If you can get it anywhere.
But if we get in at the ground floor. The ground floor, Greg.
This stuff, like I said, is not shelf stable. What are you going to do with it?
Freeze it.
You have room for that?
I'll rent a freezer truck. Make my bones on Wonder Bread. $5 a loaf Wonder Bread? That's like a 4x markup right there.
Wonder Bread. Have you ever taken a Wonder Bread and just squeezed the package? It goes down to about the size of an orange, because that's how much air is in it.
How's that? I mean, that any loaf, sliced loaf of bread's going to... White bread. No?
I mean, any... okay, not like an artisanal one.
But well, no, yeah. But sliced loaf of white bread.
Yeah, it's white. Yeah, well, white bread's horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh.
Well, since we're talking about bread, here's a question for you.
Mm.
Wheat bread.
No.
What?
No.
No?
No.
What do you mean no?
I can't eat it on this diet.
Okay. But do you have a preference against it if you weren't on the diet? Or
it's actually more flavorful.
That's the thing. I mean, even as a kid, I preferred whole wheat bread. But it seems like people in general don't have a preference for it. Or wheat dough, or wheat this, or wheat that. And I can't figure it out because I have a preference for wheat bread.
I think part of it is that the same reason that people like their casseroles with cooked green beans, with the canned green beans as opposed to the fresh ones, right? They're used to white bread. That's what they're used to. They don't get the same kind of feeling from wheat bread. The other thing, maybe there may be a little bit of celiac thing in there, that it has more, maybe gluten. I don't know. I'm spitballing.
I find it really confusing because I remember, I don't know how old I was, but it was probably pre-teenager, I had the opportunity to have wheat bread instead of white bread for my lunch sandwich. And it was like immediate, like, yes, this is better. I like this. It tastes better. I prefer, I have a preference towards this flavor versus white bread. And just looking at...
That changed with potato bread for me, because it was like, oh, potato bread, this is like white bread, but better.
Okay, yeah, potato bread's good. It just seems like a lot of people don't have that preference. They think that wheat bread does not taste as good as white bread, and I can't figure that out. Like, okay, so at work, we get lunch brought in every Monday, and every once in a while we bring in DiBella's, right? So there's a mix of white bread and wheat bread. I can't figure out why anyone would have a preference for the white bread.
When I used to do Subway, I would go for the white bread as opposed to the wheat.
Okay, why? Did it taste better? Was it a texture thing? I mean, explain to me.
I think it was a texture thing. I think it was that the white bread had a little bit more a glueiness to it.
Hmm. See, for me, the preference, when you see these like 9-grain breads which have, birdseed, mixed right in the dough, I have a preference for that. I like that kind of texture in my bread.
No, I wasn't really into that. No, I don't like a crunchy. I don't like a bread with particles in it. I would like it to feel more spongy and have a little bit of, like I said, a pastier, gluey kind of texture to it to contrast the stuff that's inside of the sandwich.
Okay. I mean, you're confirming my thing. It's just, you know, for me, it's like chunkier. I mean, this is even before I got to the point where I was, you know, searching out new flavors, big flavors, things like that. You know, I always
like. There's definitely, there's a sweeter flavor coming from your wheat bread than it is from just your plain old white.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily isn't what you always want. Sometimes you want to have the pastier flavor. You're not everybody, man.
I'm not everyone, but it's really hard for me to, like. I mean, there's a lot of things where I can, like, I can stand on the other side and look at it and say, oh, yeah, I get it. And this might be a horrible thing to say. This is a horrible thing to say, but it's almost true. Trying to.
That means it is completely true.
Yes.
Go on.
Here it comes. You probably even know what I'm going to say now. Showing a trying to imagine a preference for white bread is like for me trying to imagine a preference for men. You know, it's like that's black and white for me. It's like wheat bread is like always better. You know, and like,
I mean, I've told you that I don't think of sexuality as a black and white thing.
No,
anyway.
No, but I mean, it's for like. As steep as my curve between women and men is, you know, which is fairly steep, you know, like I'm not, you know, we talked, everyone knows our.
Okay, girlfriend, I'm going to eat my white bread anyway. You can have that kind of strong preference. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Just talking it out, man. It's interesting to me that, you know, some people.
You like durian fruit. So, I mean, you have weird taste buds. So, yeah, I mean.
But it's not like it's an extreme flavor. It's just wheat bread. But, I mean, I guess, you know, you just got to kind of slice. Look at you always have to get the right lens and look at it.
This from the guy who until recently didn't even eat tomatoes.
I did not like tomatoes, but as an adult, I had tried tomatoes on a regular basis, and they just did not agree with me until recently. I mean, I was open-minded, and then finally, I turned into an adult and liked tomatoes.
Okay, that reminds me. That reminds me to get the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If Jeff could ever get to the point where he pauses.
My screensaver's on, so I gotta get up there and hit the pause. Alright, so we're here. We got some miracle fruit tablets rolling around our tongues. You're not supposed to chomp it. You're supposed to just let it dissolve.
Let it dissolve. I put because my eyes are very sensitive to the onions, so I put them under the tomato that we cut. Okay. So, we're not gonna. We can do what we can.
Oh my god, was it last weekend, a couple weekends ago? We had a chili cook-off on the street.
We had a what?
Chili cook-off.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep this on my tongue, but it's hard to talk with it on your tongue.
Yeah, I hear.
And I started cooking it when I got up. And it was before I put my contact lenses in. Oh my god, the onions kill me.
Oh yeah.
Because contacts are great for keeping campfire smoke and onions away from your eyes. Even though this onion is getting into my eyes even now. So it's
strong. Potent. That's why I covered it up.
Gotcha. That's a really strong onion.
Whew. The red, the yellow onions are those little ones. They, so what they do is they make sulfuric acid in your eyes. They combine with food in your eyes to make sulfuric acid. So that's why it's strong. I would put that away from you, away from your
skull. I'm okay. But the contacts is not so bad.
I don't know. Your right eye is very red right now.
It's okay.
All right. We have, unfortunately, we don't have pure. We have reconstituted, we have imitation lime juice. I don't know what that's made of.
And it's reconstituted lime juice. Citric acid and, it's.
Water, citric acid, lime oil emulsion, sodium citrate, and sodium benzoate, which is the preservative. Okay, so we have two very sour things. Feta cheese, which I figured may have some interesting flavors. Two types of one balsamic, one red wine vinegar. and tomato and onion. And I brought down the dried cherries too. They may be interesting.
Okay. Even though the pills themselves taste like the dried cherries.
Yeah, they have a kind of cherry-like taste. Mm. But I don't know if you can feel it, but I definitely feel it coating my tongue with something. There's some sort of
I'm not feeling any kind of coating. Mine's almost gone.
Yeah, mine's almost gone too. It broke apart. So we'll try not to make it sound gross, but I'm sorry about the because we had these, but we're not supposed to chew on these things, so. Let's see here. Let's try a little bit of lemon juice first.
Shoot them into a small cup.
Yeah, we have these ramekins. Smells like lemon juice.
Doesn't coat your nose, I guess, huh?
No, it does not. Hmm. So not done with these tablets yet. So, what else is going on? Come on, think of something.
Think of something. Black Friday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's no good deals on Black Friday anymore.
Well, I think there were.
There used to be. I mean, it seems like there used to be something worth getting up for or going to. And anymore, it's like, you can get those deals online any time of the day, any time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's true in the sense that, yeah, the discounts that you would normally get at the retail stores, you can get online any other day. Mm-hmm. So, it's not that big a deal.
All right, mine's gone. I'm ready to go first.
All right. Try some of your juice.
Tastes like a lemonade, sweet.
Yeah, like a lemonade, but not like pure lemon juice.
Yeah. There's still some tang to it.
Yeah, it doesn't take away sour completely, but it definitely changes the complexion of sour.
All right, I want to go into something a little bit more crazy. I'm going to pull out the balsamic vinegar. All right. Because, I mean, that still kind of tastes like lemon juice, but it tastes like lemon juice with sour, with sugar added.
With sugar, yeah. Try the balsamic, too.
No, this is cheap balsamic.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to, this is not $120 balsamic vinegar.
Still pretty acidic. I'm not sure how it's really all that different. Maybe it takes the edge off.
Yeah, balsamic isn't all that changed. The lemon was definitely changed.
Mm-hmm. Got a red wine vinegar here. I want to just take a nip.
Give me some of the tomato. I want to try some of that.
Hmm. Yeah, the red wine vinegar is what you'd expect. How's the tomato?
Sweet. Very sweet.
That's pretty good.
There's pretty much no tart there at all. There's just sweet, really.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because it still tastes a lot like a tomato. Mm-hmm. Just a really, really sweet tomato. Okay, onion time.
Onion. Definitely tastes sweeter.
Mm-hmm. This is a white cooking onion, too. Yeah. It's really not sweet to start with. Still pretty potent.
Very strong, especially when it gets to the back of your mouth.
Oh, yeah. How long do these tablets?
About 20 minutes. Actually, no, about an hour, I think they really? Last. Yeah. Feta cheese. Let's see what you think of this.
Not noticing much difference.
It's a little more ricotta mozzarella-ish.
Okay. Maybe you're...
Yeah, it tastes a little more like ricotta than it does like a sharp feta. Hmm. Yummy.
Where's that imitation lime juice at? It tastes like a soda of some sort. It's pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. Kind of Mountain Dew-ish.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dried cherries. Dried cherries. I don't know how much different it is, but there's that definitely that offset.
And I was eating these earlier today. To me, they taste exactly the same.
Okay. The beer.
Oh, the soured beer. Soured beer from... Here, I drank all mine. Give me a sip of that.
Huh.
You like?
It definitely changed it. Considerably.
Yeah, it's, the carbonation is still very fine and spiky.
But you're not tasting the sour. You're really not. A bit of tanginess is what's left over.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not tasting much of the bitter at all. It's not good, but it's not, it doesn't have the same off that it did before. Miracle fruit. Give me some more tomato. That was good. That really had a real good sweetness to it. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even now, I mean, more so than the first time. It's hard to say what it tastes like. But there's like no... I don't know. It's interesting. It's the kind of changes it makes are like so small in certain ways that
right.
Everything is still very familiar. But you know, just
certain things are turned up and certain things are turned down. Mm-hmm. The sweetness is turned up considerably. Things that are sour. More that sour is converted to sweet. Some of that sour is still there, like in the lemon, but a lot of it, a good deal of it that would still be sour is converted to sweetness.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the acidity sour isn't changed so much.
Right.
Like when we were drinking the vinegars, they didn't change so much, especially you didn't go for the red wine, but when I tasted that, it I don't think it was changed at all. But the tomato was definitely changed. The onion?
A little bit.
A little bit.
The bitterness was taken away from the onion. Until you got into the back of your mouth and then where you were not coating yourself with the miracle fruit. So yeah, that's miracle fruit. I'll get some more and we'll try a more diverse group of flavors, but
can you get your hand? I mean, I'm curious how these tablets compare to, like, if you can get your hands on some, like, fresh or
dehydrated. I believe that the tablets are made with genetically modified tomatoes to make the chemical called miraculin that creates this stuff. So that's, I believe, how it works in that situation.
Miraculin.
Or called Miraculin or something like that.
Probably Miraculin.
I like Miraculin better. It sounds awesome. It sounds either like, you know, a chemical or like a Harry Potter spell. Accio Miraculin. Okay, so that's that's a good show.
I think so, yeah. Thank you for the pill. It's better than the last time you gave me a pill. Hopefully I'll remember this in the morning.
You'll be fine. These are no pharmacological things. This is just a...
Oh, we didn't talk about the pot.
The pot?
The pot.
What pot?
The pot in Colorado and Oregon.
Oh, that pot. Like actual pot.
The pot, yes.
What about it?
I don't know. What do you think's going to be the end game? I mean, like, what's going to come of this? Is it going
to
get
Listen squashed? To the All Things Considered You're an NPR guy. Listen to the All Things Considered, where she talked to, or Terry talked to the guy from the guy who studies this. He made very astute and interesting points about why the Colorado pot industry is different than California, why the feds went after California, not Colorado. There's a lot of really interesting stuff in there. That's what I'd recommend, because that was a much better description than I could ever give you.
Okay.
And that's available to everybody. So go to All Things Considered. I think it was like a week and a half ago. Take a look for the medical/recreational marijuana one, and you get a lot of great information there.
Okay. Pot, man. It's pot.
Weed. I'm going to go home and smoke some pot.
You know, the thing, you know, maybe the thing that's noteworthy is, you know, I've never tried it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason, well, probably the main reason I never tried it is I don't smoke things. So, and there's other edibles, right? So there's other things. And I'm trying to think, like, I'm not sure, you know, I'm like, maybe I'm, like, more open to it now, you know? It's like, hey, it's going to be legal, yeah? I don't know.
It's less.
Maybe it's the cheapskate in me. Maybe I don't. I feel like I'm like gonna like pay too much and get ripped off if I have to buy it from a drug dealer.
It's less damaging than this stuff, than alcohol. Yeah, smoking it, I can see why you wouldn't want to do that. Although there's evidence, I don't know how good it is, but there's evidence that it's much, much better for you than smoking tobacco in terms of what it does to your lungs and stuff like that.
But it's not better than not smoking.
I don't know the science. There are people who say it has a bronchodilator effect, which actually makes it good for you in a weird way. But it just it doesn't seem right that inhaling burning plant matter would ever be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But you can.
Well, it's good for you in the way that beer could ever be good for you.
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a better way to put it, but. Yeah, I mean, you can ingest it in other ways, and it can be stronger that way, so be warned. It has a different kind of effect on you than it does just from inhaling it. But you could also do, like, a vaporizer, which is, it takes out almost all the carcinogens and just makes it the same temperature as regular air.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets the THC and stuff in there, but you're not breathing anything bad, really.
Well, then you're just huffing THC, right? I mean,
basically, it's like, you know, nitrous or something. You're adding it to something. Yeah.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. You know, it's like, why do I make my rules? I don't know why I make my rules, but you know, you know, some kind of chemical absorbed through my lungs just does not appeal for me, even if it's vaporizer, right? I've never taken a asthma inhaler or anything, so, I mean, it would still be completely foreign to me, right? I'd probably still hack up a lung as soon as I vaporize something.
Yeah, you might, the first time would be a little bit, well, the vaporizer probably no, because the vaporizer you can't really even tell.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The smoking, it's definitely a different sensation, although it's not that much different than just being in a smoky room. It's a little hotter,
okay.
But it's not that much different. It's not the same thing as like a Marlboro or Red or something like that.
Which I have no point of reference.
Yeah, but I do. And
okay.
Although if you get some particularly, there's some particularly strong strains that will give you weird coughing fits, but you'll feel better after you're done.
Okay.
But all that being said, yeah, there's many ways for you to ingest it. You can take it in a pill form now. You can just pop a pill.
Mm-hmm.
You can just eat a brownie. That's a really easy way to do it.
Right. So these laws, you can possess it, right? But there's still no legal way to buy it.
No,
right? You're still
going to
buy
it from
a drug dealer, right? No,
no. You are allowed to sell it if you register with the government and you have. And so there's these interesting things about how how the places that sell it are set up. All in this place, all of the marijuana you make has to be made on campus. You have to have 24-hour video surveillance. The whole idea here is to prevent drug cartels and stuff like that from getting inroads. So you could only
sell your homebrew, huh? Your homegrown.
I mean, there's a certain point where the guy says, you know, it's limiting because you can't just start a homebrew. You have to have a lot of capital to start one of these things. Because you have to have 24-hour surveillance. You have to keep track of every single plant, where it's going. If you're a seller, you have to at least 70% of the marijuana you sell must come from your own source. And so there's a whole legal regimen behind it, which means that at least in Colorado, you know where the weed you're getting is coming from, and it's all set up to be legal. And that's really why the government has not gone after the Colorado ones, whereas in California, there's not nearly as much of a legal apparatus. So the thought is that a lot of these places are getting their marijuana from cartels and drug stuff, and that is more why the government is going after them than anything else.
And so how long until the federal government removes marijuana from a Class A controlled substance?
I hope it happens within the next 4 years, and I think that's possible.
Okay. It's interesting times we live in, that's for sure.
It is. Most people would not have thought that this would be possible, and yet here we are. Speaking of someone who is not a marijuana smoker,
it's interesting. I heard, you know, there's been a lot of stories on this thing, but it's one of the issues that both sides can agree with, right?
Yeah,
it's there's a lot of conservative principles at work here. It's not government's place to regulate it. We can tax it. We can make income on it. You know,
it's not nearly as harmful as other stuff that's legal. Yeah, no,
for adults, right? I mean that's a big thing. I mean, well, it'd be a hard argument to say what's worse for a 12-year-old, alcohol or marijuana. They're both bad for a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean that's kind of a
marijuana doesn't fuck up your liver.
Mhm.
It doesn't mess up anything. It messes up your brain. It doesn't mess up the other parts.
Yeah, it would definitely, the next couple of years will be very interesting to see what happens with that.
I can certainly find you a marijuana cookie or something if you'd like one.
What is the price? I mean, like, I have no idea. I'm like, kind of ignorant. Like I said,
I don't know. I mean, it'll take me. I know people who can find it, but I don't know how much the stuff is because I don't buy it.
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, because I'm a notorious cheapskate, and, you know, I wouldn't want to, like, pay, like, $20.
I've not been on the illegal drug market in any way, shape, or form for, you know, for, God, 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time. I have no idea what the going rate is.
What was the going rate when you last knew, or, like...
It depended on what kind of quality it was. Like, you could get a pound of really cheap schwag for pretty cheap.
A pound? Isn't it like a garbage bag's worth or something?
Yeah, I mean, like an ounce of really cheap schwag for relatively cheap, like 40, 50 bucks. But if it was, like, really good stuff and you get, you know, an eighth of an ounce for $80, $100, something like that.
And what's an eighth of an ounce get you, like, how many
really high, a lot.
How many joints is that, though?
How many joints is that?
Or whatever. I mean, yeah, like...
A joint is a big cigarette thing full of weed. It's a lot of weed in there. Okay, so if you have just something, you know, where you have a bowl...
I see.
And you're doing it, and you have, like, you know, you do one or two hits off of that bowl. It's really good quality stuff, that's all you need.
I see.
And that can last you... It depends on what kind of smoker you are. If you're an everyday, all-day type smoker, then that'll last you a week. If you're a once-in-a-while type smoker, that can last you months.
I see.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like a utopia, right?
Right. Which is way too expensive for me. I'm notorious cheapskate, you remember?
I don't know. We pay, you know, I've spent more than $20 on beers various times. And for that would be similar to about the value you'd get for some really good pot.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe someday I'll try this wacky tobacco.
Well, someday you should.
Marijuana.
Someday you should, because I just think in order to have that experience, and, you know, we can do it together and I'll be around to guide you through it to make sure you don't go crazy. And
people don't go crazy for marijuana, do they?
No, but you can have, you can get to the point where...
I thought that was like the room of mushrooms. And
It's much more common for it to happen on mushrooms. But if you get really, really high, you can get vaguely hallucinogenic things. If you get like super high, it can be vaguely hallucinogenic. I mean, that's what marijuana is. It's a very mild hallucinogenic. It's not a narcotic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have a lot of it, if you get a huge amount, you can get... But and what I would point out is that hallucinogens are almost entirely auditory and other things like that. It's not visual. But you definitely will feel things like... You will absolutely feel the passage of time differently. Your perception of time will be significantly changed. Your perception of your body parts will be weird, because you'll feel yourself move your arm and then you'll feel it move. Like you feel, sort of, there's a lag. There's sort of a lag time between when you move, and then you'll feel it like move again. And you what you do is you'll feel it and you'll feel it move and feel it move and feel less and less and less each time. So it's like an echo. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
And let me tell you, one of the most awesome things to do is listen to music, because you'll hear things that you never heard before.
So I should break out the Justin Bieber.
Whatever it is you like. Break out whatever it is you're into, and you will almost certainly enjoy it more. And it's just because that's what the drug does to your brain. It makes it so you're constantly going over the same neurons over and over and over again instead of spreading it out more.
Cool.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting drug. It has very interesting effects, and I think that people should not be afraid of trying it. I don't think people should be, you know, should do it all the time. It is a federal offense.
Damn federals.
So go to
Colorado.
Yeah, go to, well, it's still a federal offense. Go to the Netherlands. It's not a federal offense anymore. You're outside of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Not under their control.
It's like the Douglas movies when they were in... Austin or whatever, over there at all.
Yeah,
we're all smoking. There's cops outside.
There's a cop out there. Everyone, be cool. Be cool. Yeah, I don't know how Doug can do. I guess if you do it for 20 years, you kind of get used to it. It's kind of like a functioning alcoholic is a functional stoner. Yeah. So he, you know, he's so used to living that life that he can do it.
But, and then he gives up alcohol for
a month. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's enough for today. Sorry if we grossed you out with any noises, but that was we may try Miracle Fruit again another time. Let's see how the salt and pepper chocolate, if we still have a little bit of. Oh,
man. Salt and pepper chocolate. I didn't know you didn't.
The bitter part is really muted.
The pepper is not.
This is not pepper. Oh, the pepper. Oh, pepper.
The pepper.
Yeah.
The black pepper. It's like, that's all it tastes like right now to me, is black pepper.
Good stuff. All right. We will talk to you soon.